Well, thank you for joining me today, and thanks for praying on this day where the world does not have peace. And I feel bad. I feel terrible for our Ukrainian brothers and sisters right now who have had to flee their homes, their country, who have nothing now. And we're going to see a major refugee crisis begin to loom. We really do take for granted our freedoms here. Many in Russia who took to the streets protesting Vladimir Putin's action. And it's really the action of one man and his desire to rebuild an empire. Those people have been arrested and imprisoned as well. Let's pray for our own country today, that we will be protected from degeneration, from disaster, from disease, from war, from any sort of conflict, any kind of harm, that God will protect us in his mercy. You know, the Lord told St. Faustina, and I often think about this as the world continues in its turmoil. He says, mankind will not have peace. The world will not have peace until it turns with trust to my mercy. And that's not just global. I believe that, you know, you can apply it to that. I also mean it personally. I think, you know, if you have a lack of peace in your heart, you need to turn with trust. Trust to God's mercy. You know, the divine mercy God receives, and he quenches the wounded heart, if you will, with his own heart, which is an abyss of love. Now, mercy will always overcome hatred. Mercy will always bring healing. You know, divine mercy can restore hope. It can, why? It flows from the heart of our Lord, right? From his pure side. And I believe so much in the promises of divine mercy and what the Lord wants to grant to us today. So, Lord, I just entrust to your mercy our country, our communities, and our families, and our own hearts. And I ask that you're merciful to us, that you bring healing to all who are calling now, all those who are writing, and all who will be praying with us. And I want to pray for peace in the world and for a quick resolution to these global problems. I'm joined by my colleague today. Her name is Beth Groshek. She hails from our creative department. And Beth, it's always good to pray with you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew.
Anything you want to pray for, Beth?
Just peace, still.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll do that. And we'll start. We'll take your calls and your questions. I was going to share a couple of answered prayers that came in. Let me just, before we pray, I'll share them tomorrow. I want to thank you for taking time to write that, to acknowledge that God is working miracles in your life, that those test results are coming back in miraculous ways, that situations are being resolved. And if God is working a miracle in your life, as you pray with us here, be sure and send that to me, okay? Just write to me, drew@relevantradio.com. drew@relevantradio.com is the email. In the byline, put answered prayers and tell me your prayers. You can always send me your petitions, and you can always post them on our Twitter account, which Maggie will monitor and bring to our spiritual family here a little bit later, all right? And that Twitter account is at Drew Mariani Show. So let's pray. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable, divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll take our first call today. We'll say hello to Julia, who's praying with us in Maywood, New Jersey. Julia, good afternoon.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. First of all, I pray for you, Drew. You are very, very dear to me, even though we don't know each other. But
thank you.
Meet someday in heaven, I hope.
I hope so.
I have a very... first of all, I want to pray for peace in the world, for peace all over. I come from a communist country. I come from Cuba. I know what communism is like. Mm. I know it's a terrible system. I also have a very, very important prayer for my friend. The name is Guadalupe. She's one of my best friends, mother-in-law. She's now in the hospital, very sick. She's in treatment with cancer, and now she's vomiting, and they cannot stop the vomiting, and they are in the hospital now. I also want to include my son in prayer. His name is David. He has a lot of issues. He's adopted, and he has substance abuse issues. And for peace, for everybody who's waiting for prayers now, that the Lord will answer them and give them strength and hope.
Well, Julia, thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. And I hope we meet before we get to heaven. All right, certainly hope we meet there. That'll be great. And I'm really grateful for your kind words. And count on my prayers. I'll remember you in my personal prayers tonight, too. And I will pray for your son. Lord, I want to pray for anyone who's suffering from substance abuse. I mean, those are such deep hooks. They're so hard to disengage. But your mercy can certainly do that, and you can heal those wounds. And I pray for the parents. I pray for the mothers. I pray for the siblings. I pray for the fathers. I pray for the relatives of those who watch those they love being devoured by addiction. And I just ask for mercy. We pray for Guadalupe and for all the intentions that Julia has put forward, and especially her very first intention, that of world peace. And we just give you this intention over and over again. I entrust the world, Lord, to your great mercy as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, I'll take our next call. Christy is praying with us in the Twin Cities. Hi, Christy. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. How are you?
I'm okay.
I would like to pray for my friend Joseph Rasmussen, who's having surgery at this very moment. He wanted that everyone could pray for him. He's trying to convert to Catholicism, and I just pray for his healing and a successful surgery, and also prayers for the souls in purgatory, especially Mildred and Linda. So those are my prayers.
Great prayers. Let's pray for you too, okay? Christy, we'll lift up all your personal needs and whatever they are. I know God knows your heart. And we pray for that friend having gallbladder surgery. I pray for all these intentions that she has brought forward. And I love the intention for the souls in purgatory. Quite often we forget those who've gone before us. St. Faustina was brought to purgatory, and she saw those suffering souls. And after encountering them, having an experience with that reality of the afterlife, she said she felt more closely aligned to those souls, and she did everything she could to both pray and sacrifice for them. So let's offer our prayers right now, this chaplet as well, for our loved ones that have gone before us, for our parents, our grandparents, our siblings, our children, our friends, our family. And we just pray for all those purgatorial souls. And Heavenly Father, I ask by virtue of the passion of your Son, And by the merits of this prayer, that many souls will be released from their purgation and they can enter into paradise today. And I ask those souls when they reach paradise to intercede in a powerful way for all of us as I pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to our Twitter account next. Again, if you can't get through for some reason on the phone, and maybe you're new to the chapel. If you are, you can always call us at 888-914-9149. That'll get you into the chaplet. Or you can send us your email or post at Drew Mariani, at the Drew Mariani Show. That's our Twitter handle. And Maggie will share those with our spiritual family here. And Maggie, I know you monitor that every day. What are some of the prayer intentions we need to pray for today?
Drew, so many, many tweets today asking for prayers from Our Lady of Fatima for peace in the Ukraine. Lord, have mercy on us. I'd like to personally lift up Aaron and Jim Shaper in their continued efforts towards health. And then we've got a couple of tweets here I'd like to read. Carol wrote to us. She said, Drew, please pray a decade of divine mercy for my mother. She is 95 and has been having fainting spells. Right now she's resting from one of those episodes. It's taking a toll on us because we can't take her anywhere. We never know when this will happen. Cindy wrote to us. She said, please pray for Lisa that her treatment for breast cancer goes well. And then Jeff wrote to us. He was the one that wrote to us a few days ago that said, please pray that my colleague and I don't get in trouble at work, that there's some misunderstanding. Yeah. He said, thanksgiving for answered prayers. We did not get in trouble. It was all worked out. I appreciate your prayers.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Well, God does answer prayers. I want to thank everyone again for sending me their answer prayers. I'm going to try to maybe share some tomorrow. God works in mysterious ways. He really does. His ways of softening hearts, a way of bringing good out of situations that look like they're going to be real trouble. And that's how God works. God's in control of everything. He's in control of the world. He's in control of nature. He's in control of all those problems that seem to plague you right now. So let's give them to God. Let's entrust him to his mercy. Let's trust that he loves us so deeply, so infinitely, and that he's going to work it out for our good. And Lord, I thank you for the way that you're going to resolve the issues that we personally have and that our children have and the conflicts that we're encountering and finances and health crosses that we seem to be carrying. And we just give you all of those. And we just thank you for your mercy and especially for this great prayer. Angie is joining us in Austin, Texas. Angie, good afternoon.
Hi, I'm calling today for prayers for my father. His name is Jacinto, and he's in the ER, and they believe he might have had a stroke, so we're just praying for healing, and hopefully it's nothing serious.
All right, well, bring him to our Lord right now. Thank you for calling. We got you into our spiritual family here. Lord, I just give you her father, who's in the ER. I give you all those who are victims of stroke, who've lost mobility and speech. And I pray for those who need your divine healing. And we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Our next call comes from Sandra. She's listening in Chicago. Hey, Sandra, thanks for praying with us today. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I called in the beginning of December. I was going through a saga with my mom to get hearing aids with the nursing home. They were totally unhelpful. I asked, prayed to God, and I did it myself. Again, you know, Medicare, Medicaid paid for it. She got her hearing aids today. Well, I pray to Jesus Christ that she's able to work the charger correctly and to put them in her ears now, and for her life to be better now. And thank you so much for praying back in December, and I've been praying every day and asking. Thank you so much, and God bless you, Drew, and everyone listening.
Well, Sandra, thank you for calling with that good news. I'm happy for your mom. It's going to work out, okay? Let's pray in thanksgiving for that answered prayer. Lord, I do pray with those auditory problems. I do pray with those having ocular and eye problems. And Lord, I do pray for those who struggle financially to get the medical care that they need. But I thank you for Sandra. I give you her heart and all the little intentions and big needs that she has. We pray for her mother, for brighter days for her. I just thank you for the great privilege of being able to pray with my brothers and sisters here around the country and around the world, and for the power of this prayer and for how it delights you and how you are now moving. So I pray in thanksgiving. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Ashley is praying with us in Fort Myers, Florida. Hi, Ashley. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, thank you for taking my call, and thank you for what you do. Okay. I'm calling in. I'm asking for prayers. For healing for myself. It's going on about 4 years now that I've been dealing with daily dizziness and vertigo, and I've done all the medical tests, and I've done everything, and we're pretty much at a we don't know type of deal, but right. It's something I've been struggling with, and it's greatly affected just my quality of life, and just, you know, I'm a mother to a six-year-old and a wife, and I just want to be able to be the best that I can be at those things. There have been blessings along the way. It actually brought me back into the church. It brought me back to reconciliation. I've gotten a lot closer to God through this, but I am still praying for some relief, just to kind of get back to my baseline and to function a little bit better.
Yeah, I don't blame you. As a mother of a six-year-old and, you know, going through such struggles, I'm glad that God's grace is working. And look, we're going to pray for you now, Ashley. I'm going to ask God to really begin to change that situation, that dizziness, that vertigo. I know you've run out of avenues, but we'll bring you to the divine healer right now, okay? The Lord promised all of us that no soul who calls upon his mercy will ever be disappointed, will ever be brought to shame. He delights when we place our trust in his goodness. And Lord, I trust you completely. I do. I really do. And I ask today on behalf of Ashley, for a miracle, for a healing, for the mitigation of this vertigo, for this dizziness, that they can determine what the cause of it is and give her the proper treatment. Or if not, Lord, your divine touch. That's what I ask for right now. I ask that you just heal her and give her new beginnings. And let me sneak another call or two in. We got a moment or two here. I'll add to Ashley's call, Alberto, who's listening in New Rochelle, New York. Hi, Alberto. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you. I just give you thanks. I don't know, remember me. I was a crybaby like 10 months ago.
That I
have a lot of problems with my finances.
Yeah.
So I just give thanks, not only once or twice. So
wow.
I give thanks for the prayers and everything.
Alberta, thanks for calling in with that. Do me a favor, write to me. Send me an email, drew@relevantradio.com, and tell me your story. I love sharing those answered prayers. And that's one of those prayers. And Alberta, it's okay to get emotional, to cry. I always appreciate a man who's not afraid to show his emotions. But thank you for calling back because, you know, when you struggle financially and you do the math and you know I only make X and I have no way of getting out of this situation, it's impossible from a worldly perspective. Sometimes it's really hard to trust and to have faith and to see how it'll ever get resolved because intellectually, you know, temporally, it doesn't make sense. I've been down that path and I have seen God work miracles that have astounded me. One day I will write about it. One day I'll share. I'd love to put a book together and just so it can inspire you and give you hope if you're going through difficult times. God is with you. He'll never abandon you. Miracles do happen every day and they can happen in your life, not just others. They can happen in your life. And Alberta was one of those. And when those financial miracles come in, when those situations get resolved, it's always like, Lord, I'll never doubt you again. I'll never. And then 6 months later, it's like, oh. So keep the faith, all right? Life's filled with trials, but God will never, ever abandon us. Mary is listening in Florida. Mary, thanks for praying with us as well.
Hello, Patrick. Good afternoon. Hey. I have various intentions. I'm going to try to be as fast as possible. I would like to pray for all our Ukrainian brothers and sisters. May we feel the pain that they're going through in our souls. I would also like to know that we are with them. You know, it's very disturbing, but we pray to Our Lady of the Rosary so that they can have peace promptly. Mm-hmm. I pray for my son. He, Drew, is trying to recover from self-medication addiction, mm-hmm. Going through a mental illness also. And right now, I'm trying to help him out, and I've been staying with him. And he has, I'm very disturbed because he's mm-hmm. been taking, he's been watching programs on TV that are not appropriate to, you know, the Holy Spirit is not happy with those, what he's been watching. So I ask the Holy Spirit to please return mm-hmm. his sanity. Gotcha. The sanctity to his soul. I am also praying for my granddaughter. She just turned 20. Yep. She is the daughter to my son. He's a single dad. Yep. And she just left the house a couple of weeks ago just to go with friends. And she has decided that she's going to be taking her life into her own hands. And manage it, and she's got some 20-year-old friends and 19-year-old friends.
Let's do this, just because I have to finish the chaplet, right? I know you have many intentions. I'm so grateful for your call. We'll pray for that granddaughter of yours. We'll pray for that son. We'll pray for those battling drug addiction. We'll pray for those with porn addictions, those who are entertaining impurity, and all the intentions you have. Lord, I ask you to bless this mother, this compassionate soul who wants us to feel united to those who are suffering around the world. And Lord, we do pray once again for peace. I give to you everyone who's on hold, Todd and Debbie and Maria and Rose and Emily and Regina and Mary and everyone else, Lord, that's here. I give you to all those who've written and all those united with me. And I just ask you, read the recesses of our hearts. And today, in a special way, hear us, answer us, send us those rays of hope. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escrivá,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
All you Fatima children,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sapochko,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And before I go, if you could pray for one other intention, I really should have led for it. It's very dear to me, and that's my wife. Today's her birthday. And if you could just say a Hail Mary for her, I'll let you know you did that, okay? Or a little prayer. She would appreciate all that prayer. And she's, you know, she's my other half. So I love her very much, and it would be a blessing to me. So thank you if you could do that. If you could say a quick prayer for Kathy, okay? I'm going to take a short break. When we come back, let's look at what the Virgin Mary had to say about Russia. Let's talk about the threat that Vladimir Putin has put forward regarding the vague, cloaked veil of possibly using something lethal. The Virgin did talk about the annihilation of nations. Saint Faustina spoke about the Lord's second coming. The Kibeho seer spoke about these things. I'll break it all down for you when I return.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
First, this war is not merely a political and an economic struggle, but rather a theological one. It is not political and economic because politics and economics are concerned only with the means of living. And it is not just the means of living that have gone wrong. It is the ends of living. Never before in the history of the world have we had so many abundant means of living. Never before was there so much power. Never before have men been so prepared to use that power for the destruction of human life. Never before have we had so much education. Never before so little coming to the knowledge of the truth.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That, of course, was the great Archbishop Fulton Sheen. He lived through the Cold War. He knew the threat that loomed for nuclear annihilation. And today his words, I think they're resonant. I think they resonate in a special way. I was very taken back, not by Vladimir Putin's incursion into Russia, but what he had to say. You know, when he ordered Russian troops to invade neighboring country of Ukraine, we knew it was coming. Our intelligence, U.S. intelligence, knew that was going to happen. We knew he had significantly outgunned and outmanned the Ukrainian army. But Vladimir Putin seems to, I hope it's just rhetoric, he seems to have changed, as Emmanuel Macron, the president of France, has said with his last couple of encounters with him, that he's different. Vladimir Putin has come out and he has warned the world. He has warned the United States. He's warned our allies. He has threatened consequences never faced in our history to anyone who tries to intervene. That's what he said. You know, he gave this rambling speech Thursday, festering with all these historical grievances and accusations of the Western plot against his country. Russia still is a powerful nuclear state. In fact, I had a guest on the other day, Dr. Peter Pry, who talked about how his nuclear armament, how his weaponry has, he's amped it up. It's actually probably even better than U.S. But he gave a cold warning to the world. He warned that there should be no doubt, he says, no doubt that any potential aggressor will face defeat and ominous consequences should it directly attack our country. And there's a lot of speculation as he talks, warning that any interference, that nation will face a response never seen before in its history. Would it be cyber attack? Well, it could be. We can live with a cyber attack, although the consequences of that could also be deadly. If it came to power grids or came to water supply or transportation or fuel or a whole litany of things, you could really bring a nation to its knees. Or was he talking about nuclear weapons? Was he talking about possibly retaliating with his new hypersonic weapons and going ahead and maybe using a nuclear warhead on that against a nation who somehow interferes? I don't know. It brings me back to what Mother Teresa of Calcutta said when she spoke at the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C. She said this to one of our more pro-death presidents, President Clinton and others, officials who were at the highest levels of government. She turned to them, this little nun, wrinkled with age and service, right? And she said to them in that beautiful voice of hers, she said, the greatest destroyer of peace today is abortion. That the fruit of abortion is nuclear war. It's nuclear war. And she says, how do you persuade a woman not to have an abortion, right? You have to do it with love, right? But if we can kill a child in the womb, right, what's to stop us from using weapons to kill masses of people? What, 50 million children have died through abortion? I do think there is a consequence for the sin of abortion in this country. I do think it is nuclear war. I do think that the Virgin, when she appeared in Fatima in 1917, who warned the children of the rise of atheistic communism, she talked about how Russia would spread its errors throughout the world, that there would be the annihilation of nations. Now, what does that mean? I think nations have disappeared. Nations full of people. You take a look at how many children have been murdered in the womb. Borders have changed, of course. But could we see something that had been prophesied, not just from the time of Fatima, but across the decade when the Cold Wars were raging in Akita, Japan, when the Virgin appears to a nun there, and a statue of hers weeps 101 times in Japan, and her angel speaks to her, and the Mother of God speaks to her, and talks about a great fire that will fall from the sky. She says it'll be worse than the deluge, the great flood of Noah. A large part of humanity will be annihilated, and this will happen unless the world returns to God. She said the cup was filling up, and it was ready to overflow. Now, maybe it was mitigated. John Paul II, that was 73 and 84, consecrates the world to the Immaculate Heart. And I do think that had a lot to do with it. There was a future priest. His name was Bernardo Martinez. He lived in Nicaragua at the time. Before he became a priest, he was having visions of the Mother God. He warned about a potential Third World War. There are many who believe that we would have had a nuclear exchange if it had not been for John Paul's consecration of the world, of Russia, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And there's a lot of controversy over whether he said the word Russia and whether or not Russia's truly consecrated, and look what's happening now. Doesn't mean that evil doesn't still live in the hearts of man, and that individuals like Vladimir Putin cannot wield power and cannot cause great suffering. We saw what Adolf Hitler has done. We saw what Stalin has done, what Mao has done. I hope Vladimir Putin doesn't walk in those shadows or in those shoes. There's a Vatican writer who is taking a look at what's now unfolding here, and he has talked about how we had pandemic, but war after pandemic, he says that's demonic. I've invited to join me today Father Matthew Barron, Father Mark Barron, longtime friend of mine. He's a great Marian. I've traveled to Europe with him. many times. And it was, I think God wants him on the air today. And the reason I say that, I know that's a bold statement to make. My producer, Tom, and I were talking this morning about a guest to address the spiritual underpinning to some of the prophetic elements of Russia, what has been prophesied for our time, and to put it in a proper perspective, what our call should be. And it should be to pray, right? To pick up the rosary, as Our Lady in Fatima said, to trust in God, to rely on his mercy, to pray for the conversion of our enemies. That's what we should be doing, right? We know that, to pray, to fast, to do penance. So we had a particular guest lined up, and for some reason, I don't know what happened. They didn't come through or they couldn't make it. And Tom says to me, he says, you know what? This priest's name popped in my head, Father Mark Barron. I said, I should call him. And I said, well, you know, why Mark Barron? There's a lot of Fatima experts. He goes, I don't know. So he calls Father Barron. Father Barron says, I cannot. He starts to laugh. He says, I can't believe you're calling me. He says, why? He says, I just gave a homily on this today. Father, it's good to have you with me today. I think God wants you on the air, as I said. I think it's providence that, Tom, you came to mind. I think that was the Holy Spirit. And I think the fact that you're speaking of this today, the Lord must want you to share this with others. So it's good to have you with us. If you're not familiar with Father Barron, he's pastoral administrator of Our Lady of Peace Parish in Darien, Illinois, and a great Marian of the Immaculate Conception. Father, I'd love to hear your story. What's going on? I know you preached about this morning. What'd you tell your congregation?
Yeah, well, I'll even further develop this. The parish, we're going to be doing giving Lenten reflections. So the three priests here, the three deacons, we're going to give daily reflections during Lent from Monday through Saturday. So the six people, we each took a day. I have Wednesday. So I did my first two reflections. I did it for Ash Wednesday. Then I did it for the first Wednesday in Lent. And the first Wednesday in Lent deals with what? Jonah being sent by God to Nineveh to preach repentance and conversion, or God's going to destroy them in 40 days. So and then the gospel is about, you know, Jesus and the sign of Jonah and again, Jonah going to Nineveh. So I just kept on coming to my heart to preach about this notion of basically the seriousness of sin and how God, the collective way in which God deals with sin. So, God deals with us individually, but he also deals with us in a corporate way as groups. So anyway, I ended up writing this like four-minute reflection, did the taping and everything like that. I'm like, man, I hope that was the right thing to do. And, because it's kind of, you get pretty intense. I spoke about how the three things we can take from that, from the Nineveh event was, God respects our free will. Number two, God... sin is serious and it has life or death consequences. And number three, again, that God deals with us in a corporate way. And so I further developed that and I says, well, does God still deal with us this way in the New Testament time? And I obviously said yes, citing Jesus warning the Jews about the calamity that was going to come to them for the unbelief, for their unbelief when he walked the earth, which it did in 70 AD when the temple was destroyed and a million Jews were killed, according to this historian Josephus. Then I went and I spoke about the contemporary times, about how mankind through secularism and just this great indifference has gone astray from God, and how, citing Fatima and the Akita prophecy that you just said, I cited that and read that, and then I kind of landed the plane, so to speak, and then moved on. And then today I felt the same call to preach a similar message today based on the notion of Jesus, speaking about, again, the seriousness of sin in the context of hell, right? And how hell is so bad, we don't want to go there, and it's so bad that it's better for us to lose the good of one of our limbs than to lose the good of the salvation of our soul. And so I just kind of spoke to that, saying that, God doesn't view things like we do. God doesn't try to understand things from a political standpoint or a historical standpoint or a cultural standpoint. God just kind of looks at the world and he sees, are you following me or not? Is there virtue or is there vice? And so from that, God looks at the world, and if he sees that we are going astray, God loves us so much and he wants us to be saved so much that he will do whatever he can to kind of wake us up and to get us to follow him. And sometimes that means that God will allow suffering to befall us, or God will intervene, right, with you know, we use the word chastisement, to help us, to wake us up, to get us on our knees and to return to him. So anyway, I gave that homily.
Father, I'll
today.
Tell you, hold the thought, because I've got to take a short break here. When we come back, let's pick it up. My guest today, Father Mark Barron, we're taking a look at the spiritual underpinning to the events that are unfolding, and what our response should be, and how we interpret what this and why God allows it. If you have a question, a comment, you want to get in on the conversation, feel free to give us a ring. The number here is 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Always love to hear from you. Our conversation will continue right after this.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Your life connected. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining us. If you are just tuning in, I've invited a longtime friend, Father Mark Barron, to stop by. Great holy Catholic priest. Gave a wonderful homily today. I think it was anointed, called by the Holy Spirit. And by providence, we were able to connect with him today, and he's sharing a little bit about that experience. And we're looking in particular at the spiritual underpinning to why God allows events like this to happen, how he can bring good out of it, and the prophetic nature of it as well. Across the centuries, there have been warnings about events such as we're seeing unfold now. Father, great to have you back. I'll let you pick it up. And maybe, you know, clearly you were meant to talk about this. How did you feel when you were done delivering that particular homily?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, I felt that like there was an anointing on it. I felt a conviction in saying it. I felt like I was able to deliver it clearly. But when I got done, and especially after Mass, you know, you kind of start, like, you know, doubting, like, oh, man, I hope I was that was a homily that I should have given, you know, because it's not oftentimes where priests are going to preach boldly on apocalyptic themes. So I, you know, make it back to my rectory, and I just said a prayer. I just said I was down in our chapel, and I said, Lord, I said, if I wasn't supposed to make to say that homily, or even to tape that recording, that talk I did the other day on the same theme, then let me know, you know, just like, let me know in some way, or affirm it for me. And so, you know, about a few, you know, maybe 20 minutes later, I got a text from somebody who heard the homily, and, you know, you get the great homily thing. That was an awesome homily. I'm like, okay, well, that's cool. And then out of nowhere, Tom Siskevitz, your producer, calls and says, do you want to be on Drew's show today talking about the spiritual underpinnings of the Russian invasion? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I just talked on that today in my homily. So anyway, it was just kind of like an affirmation for me that what the Lord put on my heart, you know, because every priest tries to be open to the Holy Spirit when we give a homily to say what the Lord wants us to say.
And, yeah, well, clearly that was the case, because when Tom, and this is no offense, Father, I love you, you know that. I've had you on the program a lot. I love your Marian sensibility, your understanding and love of the Eucharistic and the Eucharistic and Eucharistic miracles. I was thinking, oh, we need a Fatima expert, somebody who can talk about what the Virgin prophesied, this and that, you know. And when Tom said that one person fell through, he said, Father Mark Barron. I'm like, well, Father Mark. I said, why Father Mark? And he goes, I don't know. I just felt I had to reach out to him. So the Holy Spirit was working both with Tom and with you. And I think it's a message people need to hear. You know, it is a topic, though, that a lot of people poo-poo, and they don't really place a lot of credibility. And I mean, I love the example of Nineveh and what penance and prayer and conversion can ultimately do, and the reality of chastisement, that there is consequence for sin. As Mother Teresa pointed out when I began here, that, you know, the fruit of abortion is nuclear war. And we live in a time where I never thought, oh, we'll never have nuclear exchange, but you never know what can happen. When you preach on the apocalyptic, I mean, there's not a lot of priests who will do that. How do you keep that in proper perspective? Because it's easy to get that out of balance.
Yeah, I think it's always keeping that vision of the vision that God has for us. The vision for God, that the vision that God has for us is not destruction. It's peace. It's joy. You know, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, love, kindness, generosity. And the reason why that God has to speak about, or we have to hear about this notion of chastisement or destruction, is because sin destroys. Sin is the most destructive thing that we can do to ourselves, and then to ourselves individually, and then to ourselves collectively. And this is where, you know, again, God doesn't see, God looks at the big picture of salvation and the possibility of a soul spending eternity in hell because of the bad choices they make, you know, through sin. So God is saying, you know, how can I get this person's attention, or get the you know, humanity's attention, to get them to stop behaving in a destructive way? So this is where God respects our freedom, and he says, you know, in various ways, if you say yes to me and you turn back to me and start being faithful to me, then you will experience the fruit of what that faithfulness, you know, involves. If you don't, then basically God just kind of gives us up to our behavior, and sin is basically, sin has its own inbuilt chastisement to it. You know, because whenever we sin, right, we go against God's order, and whenever we go against God's order, his plan for things, then we end up doing destructive, you know, things that are destructive. So anyway, it's just a trying to keep that big vision, that big picture of what God wants for us, the good he wants for us. But then, you know, understanding when we go astray from that, God loves us so much that he's going to correct us, just like any good parent is going to correct their kid when that parent sees their child going astray.
So what do you make of these prophecies that have taken place across the 20th and into the 21st century? The Fatima message of the annihilation of nations. You talked about Sister Agnes Sasagawa, who, you know, talked about the true presence in the Eucharist, and, you know, bishop against bishop and cardinal against cardinal is another aspect of one of those messages. A lot of the messages seem to be, you know, right on point, but then she had that one very apocalyptic one about, you know, a great chastisement, a great fire that would fall from the sky, worse than the flood of Noah. Chastisement worse than the deluge, worse than the flood of Noah. A large part of humanity would suffer. The living would envy the dead, she would go on to say, if I remember all of it from my memory banks here. And then, you know, as you get into, you know, the 80s, when the Virgin started appearing in lots of other places, to Bernardo Martinez or in Kibeho, Rwanda, or places like that, we see this reoccurring theme. Yeah, John Paul II consecrates to the Mother of God. And, you know, I wonder if that kind of fulfilled or short-circuited what could have been an inevitability, or whether or not Our Lady, who's still coming in an unprecedented fashion to every habitable continent, we've never seen this before, with an urgent message of return to her son. Maybe we are a people living in a very critical, very pivotal moment in history. Maybe we're about to see things that we could never imagine.
Absolutely. I mean, this is, when you look at the times we live in, and I think I read somewhere where Our Lady kind of referred to these times as wicked as the times before the days of Noah, or during the right, days of Noah, before the flood came, right? So, and you could maybe even make the argument that it's even worse because of the population, you know, how many people we have on Earth now, and technology, and all that, you know, all the vice that can afford us to behave with, you know, to bad, or to foster bad behavior. But anyway, I think that we just have to realize that we are, you know, again, we're in a bad place collectively as a human race. You know, it is the blatant affront against God, and really more of an indifferentism as well. You know, just this kind of coldness of heart, this indifferent heart that humanity has. I mean, God is not going to, God has much more in store for us than what we're settling for right now in world history. Turning to the vices that we are doing, you know, God does have this era of peace, and I think it's important to understand. I don't think this is about the end of the world. I think this is about a transition into a new era of peace, the triumph of the Immaculate Heart that God has in store for us. But you know, and really we have a choice. You know, are we going to get there by cooperating with God and His grace, or are we, you know, going to be hard-hearted and refuse and keep going astray? And God is going to have to help us, you know, God's going to have to intervene and do his, you know, with His own correction.
No, I get it. That's a great way of putting it. Father, I'll have you back. We can talk much more about this another day. I'm grateful for your message. I think the world needs to hear it. And your people are very blessed to have you as a pastor. So keep being open to the Holy Spirit. And let's continue to pray for peace. And let's pray that our own hearts will be converted and we can respond in earnest to the message of Our Lady and the call of her Son. Father, thanks for being with me today.
Thanks, sir.
That's Father Mark Barron. I have to leave it right there. I'm going to take a short pause. We'll be back. Change gears on the other side. I do want to bring you up to the latest on what's happening with COVID. There is some news I'll get you plugged into. Plus, you know, your economics are going to change. I'll tell you what this means to you.